will be QB1 when practices start tomorrow, getting the nod over first overall pick Fernando Mendoza. The Golden State Warriors and forward Draymond Green came to terms on a one-year deal, while Notre Dame and SoFi have reached an agreement on a jersey patch deal that will be worth $18 to $20 million annually for the school.
Fox Sports Update on the Right Choice, KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, strong global demand continues to boost U.S. pork exports, with both value and volume running ahead of last year. Through May, pork exports totaled $3.59 billion, up 5%, while export volume also climbed 5%. Mexico remains the top customer, purchasing $1.09 billion worth of U.S. pork. May exports alone increased 8% in value and 10% in volume compared to a year ago. Well, U.S. dairy groups applaud the White House decision to impose 50% tariffs on dairy imports from Canada, addressing long-standing trade concerns under the USMCA. The administration says it's invoking the tariffs in response to Canada's discriminatory dairy trade practices. National Milk Producer Federation President Greg Dowd says Canada simply cannot continue to discriminate against U.S. dairy farmers by effectively blocking negotiated access to its market. Well, the USDA Rural Development Mission area intends to move nearly 3,000 members of its workforce out of Washington, D.C., according to a report from Meeting Place. But employee unions asked a federal judge to halt the USDA's plans, warning a reduction at this scale will hamper wildfire response, slow federal dollars, and damage research. USDA rejects the idea that the reorganization would be detrimental to research.
You work hard raising America's beef. Now get rewarded with Superior Livestock. Consign your cattle to the Bighorn Classic video auction August 17th through the 21st in Sheridan, Wyoming, and live online. Superior comes to your ranch, showcases your cattle to the nation's largest buyer base, and delivers true price discovery through competitive bidding. Call 800-422-2117. Contact your local Superior rep or visit superiorlivestock.com. But don't wait. The consignment deadline is July 31st.
The best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they're, well, farming. It's easy to find them during the day, as most farmers are behind the wheel of their pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station for the Ag Information Network of the West News. So reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what's important to their farm operation. Give us a call and we'll connect you with our local farming community. They trust us, so they'll trust you.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are mixed in afternoon trading. The Dow is up sharply on robust earnings, but the tech-heavy NASDAQ is wavering on a continued sell-off in chip stocks as investors ditch AI darlings in favor of other sectors that have been left behind this year. The Magnificent Seven big-cap tech stocks are mostly higher as investors get in gear for earnings reports from Microsoft, Amazon, Meta, and Apple. Apple stock is up nearly 1%, with the tech giant briefly becoming the second publicly traded company in history to hit a market capitalization of $5 trillion. NVIDIA is the only other company to hit that milestone, though a recent stumble in its stock means it now lags Apple's valuation. Visa is slashing 2,600 jobs, or about 7% of its workforce, as the company looks to adapt to the rapidly changing payments industry. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
You're probably listening to this in your car, so let me ask you, Would you drive without insurance? Of course not. So why is your retirement portfolio unprotected? Gold is portfolio insurance. It helps de-risk your savings when markets get unpredictable. Noble Gold Investments has helped thousands of Americans do exactly that, with no high-pressure sales and thousands of five-star reviews. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult with your tax or financial professional before making any investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
For some time now, a lot of us have been asking, why can't little Willie read or do arithmetic? And the answer is, he isn't being taught to do that. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
The story is told of the new young schoolmaster telling the old-timer about progressive education. He was enthusiastic about how the children were allowed to express themselves, play games, draw pictures, visit with each other, etc. The old boy heard him out and then said, "We had that when I was in school." The young teacher said, "You did?" And he said, "Yep, we called it recess." A few weeks ago, a national magazine carried a one-page story by a lovely young lady, 24 years of age. She titled her story, "Confessions of a Misspent Youth." But don't let that title fool you. She was in no way a juvenile delinquent. She is instead a victim of some of the modern ideas in education that have been around for a couple of decades or so. Her parents were of that era when permissive education seemed to be the wave of the future. At age 4, in 1956, she was enrolled in a small private school which she describes as a school without pain. It specialized in freedom, the freedom not to learn. The idea was to cultivate the innate creativity each child was believed to have. According to this graduate of the educational sandbox, they had different hours for each subject, but they were free to dismiss anything that bored them. School policy forbade them from being bored, miserable, or made to compete with each other. In studying history by recreating its least important elements, in early American history they made teepees, pounded corn, and ate buffalo meat. Another year they were maids and knights in armor and drank orange juice from tinfoil goblets. As she says, that was the Middle Ages, but they never found out what the Middle Ages were. There were other examples, copying hieroglyphics on brown wrapping paper without ever knowing what the hieroglyphics stood for. They spent a lot of time being creative because they were told that was the way to be happy. At age 10, they were functionally illiterate. Reading hadn't begun until third grade. I have a set of the old McGuffey readers, back when education was old hat. The first volume is for kindergarten. Sadly, this young lady says that upon graduation, all the happy young children fell down the hill. No matter what high school they went to, they were the underachievers, more handicapped than any underprivileged children. One of her fellow students killed himself after flunking out of the worst high school in New York at age 20. Others have put in time at various mental hospitals. Her own mother was advised to give her psychological tests to find out why she was blocking out information. She wasn't blocking it out. She didn't have any information to begin with. Rejected by all four-year colleges, she finally got a degree by way of a start in junior college. She rejoices that her 8-year-old younger brother was yanked out of the same progressive school when her mother finally saw the light and didn't want him to be like her. Her poignant closing line should be over the door of every teacher's college in America. Quote, "And now I've come to see that the real job of school is to entice the student into the web of knowledge, and then, if he's not enticed, to drag him in. I wish I had been." This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
Protecting what matters on the right choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
And good afternoon. My voice may be a little different. It's not Barry. It's Eric Gorm. I'm filling in while Barry is traveling around the United States here on, I think, a little business and pleasure. And I think one to two, we'll have Seth Peek, city councilman in Atascadero. And tomorrow, it looks like we're going to have Chris Bausch because we had a cancellation. Talking about the city of Paso Robles, kind of this afternoon, this first half an hour, I kind of want to just open it up, do a little open mic, talk about what's been going on. I know that the fair just ended. I'd love to hear what your favorite concerts were, if you went to the auctions, if you were able to purchase anything, things of that nature, if you enjoyed the fair, and what you enjoyed. I know it sounds like the kids did pretty good this year. I was hearing that the auction, you know, the animal auction kind of went right about where it should. It wasn't huge money, wasn't little money. It was kind of right there in the middle, and that kind of works out anyway, because when things get inflated, I believe it gets a lot of kids in there just because they want to make some money off an animal and not do the kind of the right thing when you're taking care of them, doing your thing. So I think the fair overall went good. Also, I know there's some articles that are being coming out with, hopefully today. I'm waiting for it to come out. I don't want to talk about these articles till they come out. I know Karen's working on a few things that should be out at any point. I'm looking at Cal Coast News as we speak. Oh, and one of them actually did come out. One of them I wanted to talk about. We'll get to that one. Which is a bunch of lawsuits by Gaia Powell, you know, actually suing some of the people that are testifying against her, etc. I think we might get into that a little bit, but we'll hold off for a minute while I sit here and jabber, I guess. But and actually, I don't know. I go read that and then call me, tell me what you think, because I know it literally just got posted. I haven't been able to read it, but I know the backstory on it. And to me, you know, when you're suing people that are testifying against you, and I need to read it, but it appears that to me that's like witness tampering. I'm going to sue you, but you're still going to, for what you're saying on the stand. And I think that's what's happening. I'm not going to go out and say that yet. Let me read the article, see what's been put out there. I'll probably do that at the break. And then, you know, let me ask you this. You ever woke up in the morning and you're having a good morning, you're doing your thing, and you go to turn on the sink and there's nothing? And that's being rural, you know what I mean? Like, I think you hear Greg Graywall always talk about, you know, you're your own water company when you live out in the country. And that's what my morning was like this morning. I woke up, I was going to wash some dishes real fast, take a shower, and nothing came out. So, unfortunately, I did a lot of work, and of course, we're in this heat wave, so I'm out there sweating with no shower, and figured out that my booster pump went out. Of course, my booster pump's one of the more expensive ones. Not an easy one. Luckily, it's not a well pump, of course, but, you know, that's what I'm doing this afternoon. I'm replacing my booster pump after I go down to Farm Supply and give them $1,600, I guess. But the joys of being your own waterworks, if you want to talk about stories like that, I'm hoping we get a few call-ins and just kind of talk about what's going on. I'm hoping, too, that maybe, I know that Greg's been updating things, maybe he can call in, and I was hoping Murray Powell might call in and tell us a little bit about what's going on with TAG. There's been some stuff in Cal Coast News about that. The chair of TAG just got done with his court case, and it doesn't look good. I'm surprised, you know, I'm not trying to disparage TAG, but I'm just surprised they still have this person as their chair. Maybe things have changed. I don't know. If anybody knows, give us a call at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. But he was found guilty of quite a few things. And, you know, it looks like some of those things got waived, but if he makes those mistakes in the future, they won't be, you know, kind of put aside, we'll say. So there's a lot of things going on around the county. And that's kind of what we're looking at. I guess we can get into the Gaia Powell thing a little bit. Unfortunately, like I said, I haven't read it, but, you know, she ran for mayor in 2020 and 2022. And allegedly, we'll say, registered to vote at an address on James Way in Rio Grande, where she did not live. And I think one of these lawsuits, if I'm not mistaken, is against the person, like the address. And from what he said in court was that it was a shared space, but it was not to live in, and she never moved in. That's my understanding. And I could be wrong. I'm trying to read this, but it looks like she's suing a handful of people. I think one of them's her business partner. They have a non-disparage agreement, and she's saying he broke that because of, my understanding, what he said on the stand. Now, that man can't go lie on the stand, and is it disparaging to tell the truth? That's a question. I'd love to hear your answers on that one. But it's hard for me to believe you're disparaging somebody if you're forced to testify against them and you're telling the truth. I don't know if that lines up. Maybe I'm wrong on it. Maybe the article's a little off. I don't know. Karen generally is right on these things. So it'll be interesting to find out how that goes, and interesting how to find out how these court cases go. It's still very weird to me that you would be suing people that are testifying against you, because it seems to me to be, if that is the actual case, is that's witness tampering, because you're basically suing somebody that still has to testify against you. About, my understanding is, what they've already testified to in pretrial. And it appears to me that, you know, I think this person is also trying to sue our DA. And really, you know, it's come on this show, gone on different speaking events. And I know I talked to some of the Republican women groups that had her speak when she was running, and the turnoff was when she attacked the DA. They thought, oh, this person might be somebody I want to support. And then the attacks came on the DA, and they decided, no, I'm not going to support this person. So it's been interesting to watch. I don't know if any of you have paid attention to that. But it's kind of an interesting train wreck, in my opinion, to watch. Also say, you know, some things came in about David Pettick on this thing. And I think, I don't know, maybe Karen's listening if she wants. I think, I'm not sure if he was, if the charges have been finalized on that. I know he was going to court. They were trying to settle certain things. And maybe, if you're listening, Karen, maybe text me to tell me if that trial is over with. That would actually be interesting to know, because it kind of goes hand in hand with what we're talking about. So again, that's kind of the Gaia Powell thing. We do have a call. Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in.
Hi. Yeah. I tried to do public comment at the Board of Supervisors remotely with Zoom, and it didn't work. But what I wanted to say was, I wanted to congratulate Bruce Gibson and others who successfully lost the suit against the Quiet Title people, according to Greg Graywald. And he wasted millions of dollars, Bruce Gibson did, of our money, suing our own citizens, and then lost. And I think everyone should congratulate Bruce for that.
Right. And the funny part about that, I'll guarantee you, this is what he'll say. He'll try to twist it, and he'll say, well, in the one part we got a, and I can't think of the right name, Greg will kill me here, but, you know, they got an allotment, which wasn't much. So they spent a lot of money for the different cities to get a very small allotment of water in case, if there is a drought, which a judge has to declare if there's a drought. That is a, you know, we're getting into legal terms when we, on some of these things, but, so they really didn't get anything, but they're gonna, they've always put that as the victory. Oh no, we got X amount of acre feet, and they're very small amounts.
Well, I also want to, I'm sure you'll get a letter of thanks from the consultants, full employment group, and the lawyers, full employment group, for hiring all those consultants and lawyers.
And I got something to add to this, but I need, I just got handed a public safety letter, and I need to read that. So the city of Paso Robles Fire and Emergency Services has just put out a notice, natural gas leak, safety mitigated, railroad street reopened to the public. Paso Robles, California, Paso Robles Fire Emergency Service is pleased to announce that the natural gas leak at 1200 block of Railroad Street has been safely mitigated. So it looks like we're all clear. I didn't know if they were trying to say that there was an emergency right now, so I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, that's okay. I really do think the consultants, full employment group, and the lawyers full employment group should thank the county and the city of Paso Robles. And whoever, San Miguel, I guess, and whatever group.
Right. You know, it's interesting. I went out last night with some friends, and we went to Morro Bay, and what was it? The Magnificent Seven, I believe. It was playing on the big screen in Morro Bay.
Okay.
And I had never seen that on the big screen. So we went, and one of the people that went was Michael Aaron Woody. And it was interesting. Yeah. We were talking about Bruce Gibson and his protege that just won. And it was interesting. He goes, you know, at the end, I thought I had it won. And then a month and a half of just pure lies came out. And I said, yeah, I think what I figured out years ago, the first time Jimmy Paulding ran, I was talking to Adam Hill, and he unwittingly gave me their strategy, which was to lie. Just lie. And if you look at how Paulding's ran for three times now, and if you look how Bruce Gibson ran, if you look at how Adam Hill ran, it's interesting. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day in Napomo, and I said, oh, I'm going to Old Juan's to pick up some stuff. It was wine night at the fair, and I was getting chips and dips at Old Juan's just because I was down there. And they go, and I'm like, I'm doing an event this weekend. I was like, oh, I need to talk to him anyway. Maybe I'm trying to talk him into giving us a free meal to auction off. And they go, why would he do that? And I said, well, why wouldn't Adam Verdin do that? He goes, well, Jimmy's the Republican. And those are the lies that he's been saying for three terms. Because, you know, we all have this software on my phone. I have it. And you look, and you can see who's on the other side of the door. So what he would do is he'd knock on your door, and people probably had that happen before. And he looks at the software and goes, oh, this is a hard Republican. So he just walks in that door and says, I'm the Republican here. I'm the conservative candidate. And then if it's a Democrat, he goes and tells them it's a Democrat. I actually went down to Trilogy this year and took down 8 of his yard signs because I knocked on the people's door and I said, and I knew somebody, and she goes, these are all Republicans. I know they are. I know these people. So we knocked and told them what was going on, and they're like, no, he told us he was the Democrat. And this is what they've done. Jim D'Antona, I think, thought he was going to lose, and they just made the wildest things up, and people just listened.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My comment on that is the amount of intelligence in the universe is limited. That's Einstein.
Right.
But the amount of stupidity is infinite.
No, yeah, you're 100% right. And you know, people tend to believe what they're told, I guess. I don't know. It's amazing. And I know Bruce did it, you know, the last time around when he ran against the other Bruce Jones.
Right.
And, you know, one of the interesting things I thought, Bruce Jones, and a lot of people don't realize this, but other states are a little different. So if they might have 3, 4, 5 different kinds of Republicans, 3, 4, 5 different kind of Democrats, and they kind of have the Kennedy Democrats, which would in California be considered a Republican.
Oh yeah.
So Bruce Jones was a Kennedy Democrat where he came from. They made him out to be the MAGA, you know, he's so far to the right, and it's like, no, he's like a Kennedy Republican. You know, but you say it enough time, you get people to believe it, and you know, you just kind of just makes wild things up. You know, he's in there cooking up, you know, kitty livers and everything. I don't know, they just say some weird stuff.
All right, well, that's what I wanted to tell you.
All right, thank you, sir. Thank you for calling.
We should thank Bruce for losing.
We should, and maybe you get that chance here coming up soon.
All right, well, thanks.
Thank you. And yeah, you know, that was a big waste of money, unfortunately. And the money will never get back. And one thing that I noticed when it comes to Bruce Gibson is he's just kind of been in the pocket of certain water districts, certain large companies, really going after. And this is somebody that doesn't represent North County, but just for years been attacking North County water rights, trying to get people to have, you know, basically, I look at like things like water banking. Once you get those rights, you have those rights. You own that water. And it's not that hard. Our water bank here is not that large. I mean, it is in reference, but if you sell 51% of it to big interests or different water districts, and they own that. And, you know, the fight has always been, and we have a call. Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in.
Hey, Eric, it's Randall with the Republican Central Committee. I just wanted to call in and say hi and maybe give a little bit of information.
For sure. What do you got, sir?
Well, this weekend, Saturday the 1st, August 1st, is our big event for the year, our Lincoln Reagan Trump Birthday Bash 250 dinner at the Raven Ranch here in Paso Robles, and it's going to be a hoot, and we've still got a few tickets left. We're almost sold out, and I just wanted to let anyone know that anyone that wants to go, general admission is $150, and the VIP, we have some VIP tickets still available at $250. And our guest speaker is going to be none other than Devin Nunes. So the man that basically guarded our president in 2016 and kept the wolves from putting him in jail. So it's going to be a great event. And like I say, it's a big fundraiser for our candidates. And November election, this is how we pay for the slate card. This is how we pay for mailers and things like that. So I just urge everybody to try and support the Republican Party.
And if you want to get those tickets, how do you go about doing that?
Real easy. You basically just go to the website, rpsloc.org, and there's a button that you can push. Don't push the donate button. Go to the events button, and it'll show you all the different events we've got coming up. And one of them is our Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner this weekend, this Saturday. And they can buy tickets right there online, and they'll get recorded, and we'll have your name on the list, and we'd love to have everybody there.
Awesome, and that's right here in North County this year, in Paso, I believe.
Yeah, it's at the Raven Ranch. We've got a great patriot in Scott Raven and his wife. They're wonderful people. They're from the Central Valley. And they've got a beautiful ranch over there near Santa Isabel, in the Santa Isabel area. And it's going to be a great event. It's going to be wonderful, and we're really looking forward to it.
All right, sir. And just a little teaser for tomorrow. We're going to be talking local candidates, et cetera. I have Randall on for a half an hour during this half hour tomorrow, 12:30 to 1. And kind of going over some of the people that are running here locally, some of the people we may want to support. It should be a good conversation.
Definitely. We've had not really last minute, because we have been working on this. Dorian Baker and her team on the Republican committee, they've been working nonstop, along with Gary Adams and Andrea Seastrand down in South County. And we've got some great candidates for school board, city council. And so we'll be talking about that tomorrow.
And I'm going to tease this. I haven't told you this yet, Randall, but I have a plan, and if it goes through the way it is, I think we may flip 100% of Atascadero City Council.
Whoa! That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
So we're working on it right now, and I think the other side's going to make it happen for us. It's not what we're going to do.
Oh, Lord.
So we're up against the break now, sir. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for coming in tomorrow. It should be a good conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow, and it'll be fun. But everybody, get your tickets for the event. Bye-bye.
Bye. And we will be back with more Protecting What Matters with Eric Gorham today. I'm in charge. Barry's out wandering. I think he's in Colorado, but we'll be right back with the second part of this segment. Stay tuned.
I'm not usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Lint Patrol specializes in dryer vent cleaning. You can trust Dylan with Lint Patrol to keep your vents clean and safe, and this helps your dryer run more efficiently and reduces the risk of a house fire. Dylan has over 6 years of appliance preventative maintenance experience and is knowledgeable in all things appliance care. This is an affordable, simple way to help protect your home. Contact Dylan today at 805-975-5176 or visit lintpatrolca.com.
And we're back with Protecting What Matters. We're going to go straight to a phone call. Good afternoon. Ooh, I think we lost that one. Good afternoon.
This is Murray Powell. I was on hold for Eric, and I think he's waiting on me.
You're on, Murray. Oh, I got okay. you. I got you. We're back from the commercial break. Thanks for waiting and calling back in. So what do you got for us, sir?
Well, yeah, I didn't realize you were on today, so thanks for giving me a heads up on that. Well, you know, there's a couple things. Did you hear about the Steinbeck, the Trial 6 deal where San Miguel, who was the only agency left that was still involved in the lawsuits for Steinbeck, has withdrawn?
Oh, no.
Did you hear about that?
I didn't, personally. I've been stuck putting on a big event, so no, I haven't heard.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, we got notice yesterday late afternoon, and we knew it was coming, that they basically the trial was set for August 17th for this Pueblo water right thing that's more complicated than we need to talk about because it's dead in the water now. So we got a court-filed document from the San Miguel attorneys withdrawing from the case, and the way we understand it, that is the last court hearing or trial involving Steinbeck. So essentially, we believe or we understand that the Steinbeck lawsuit has now been totally settled. They essentially won everything that they have been contesting over a 13-year lawsuit that consisted of six trials, and it's over.
Nice. Yeah, it's about time. It's about time. And
So we have 850 or so Steinbeck lawsuit plaintiffs, members of that group, who will now get released from any, bureaucratic restrictions of water use, Paso Basin water use on their properties.
Nice.
That's the bottom line, is the way I understand it, of the Steinbeck lawsuit. And that then goes back to the overall Paso Basin issues. I think this is going to have a huge impact on how the Paso Basin thing with this authority, this GPA, Praga authority, that's now just putting out again these charges, which, there'll be a number of the Steinbeck people in the group that are on that list that will now have to be taken off because they will not be obligated to comply with that program if it even goes through.
Let me ask you this, Murray. Who do you think is going to replace Gibson next year?
He's already been elected.
Oh, who's that? I hadn't heard.
I'm not sure how to pronounce his name.
I mean, on the water board. I mean, it doesn't mean he's going to...
On the water board, I have no idea. You know, Heather Moreno, who her District 5, you're in District 5, so you know, that her district covers a large portion of the Paso Basin, and she's the alternate now on that authority board, but she hasn't really been involved. So that would probably be the first choice if it was done sensibly instead of politically.
Right. I also know that if the lawsuit is truly over, John would no longer have to recuse himself from these issues and could sit on that board also.
I would think, I'm not an attorney, I would think so, yeah, but, and even, I agree, that and he's the right choice, because as you know, his background, he was involved at the beginning of all this basin stuff for like 3 or 4 years in a row, before they actually, he left that, or got removed, I guess, from that board deal. So, So anyway, that was, I think, really great news. And I'm sure, I know Graywall was on this morning early on KPRL, but, so he's beside himself today, finally.
I missed this morning because, I was actually dealing with my own water company. My booster pump went out, so I didn't listen because I didn't have water when I woke up.
All right. So anyway, that's about the bottom line on that. And then the only other thing is the ongoing sagas at the Temple and Area Advisory Group, TAG, as I'm sure a lot of folks have now seen notices that the current acting chair of TAG, David Leader, has agreed to a plea agreement, essentially, to pleading guilty for a bunch of battles that were going on in his neighborhood over him being accused of harassing neighbors over the use of a road and all this stuff. What I haven't heard, though, is that from Leader, because he and I are not on the best of terms at the moment. I was involved to some extent in his, he's been under investigation and been charged by the DA's office over the past at least 2 years of what's been going on here. So, anyway, the issue I have is him remaining certainly as the chair of TAG, which is ridiculous, and probably should even be removed from the board because there was a provision, or actually it's still in effect, but they're trying to revise some bylaws, not only this one I'm going to mention, but also several others. But the one bylaw that they're revising, and it's been there in the bylaws for God knows how long. I've been around for 10 years, and it was there when I got there. Never been an issue, but there was a comment in that bylaw that said that a member could not be on the board if they were convicted of a felony. And interestingly, in January and February, the board has proposed to remove the felony wording from that provision.
Interesting. Well, thanks for calling in, Murray. We're actually up against it. I appreciate the call, and we'll be back with Seth Peek at the top of the hour.
next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.